Start your week out right with some football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on any of our 18 screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Grub on our stadium snack menu, half off until end of halftime. For details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river. Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500.
Plus weekly drawings.
Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day.
Win $100,000.
For official rules and details, log on to WinRiver.com. Football is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here with Northern Firearms Instruction, filling in for Carl Bott. There's no way I could ever fill in for Linda, so let's just say I'm filling in for Carl today. How you doing today, Bad Bob?
I am doing quite well. Welcome to my lair here. Hey, checking out the weather, and I'm going to get an expert opinion on the weather here in just a moment. I will give you current conditions being partly cloudy skies as the sun heads for the horizon, 55 degrees. Some clouds this morning and generally sunny skies in the afternoon. High around 84. Temperatures will be tapering off during the week with overnight lows in the 50s and daytime highs. Nice balmy weather. Could have some rain by Thursday. And for that, I turn to my in-house weather expert, Brenda. And we're looking at some wet stuff. Maybe are we going to look at a wet winter, or is it too early to tell?
Oh, if I was that good, I would not be working where I am. I'd be making lots of money somewhere else. Brenda Belongi here with a holiday off. The guys asked me to join them, so here I am. And major change in weather pattern coming up later this week, and you covered it nicely, Bob.
Okay.
Look for some precipitation as early as, where are we? Probably Wednesday night, maybe, before daybreak on Thursday.
How good of a guess can you make on the overall, because trends start forming up. Winter-wise, are we looking at a really bad year or maybe a repeat of last year?
That's a really good question, and we were hoping that a La Nina would form up, and it's not really doing much. It's what they call Enzo neutral, El Nino, Southern Oscillation neutral. So it's really a La Nada. It's not either El Nino or La Nina. And for that, we're not sure what we're really going to get. But there are some indications.
It's a box of chocolates.
Exactly. Yeah. There are some indications that we may have a normal precipitation winter, or maybe a little bit wetter than that in the very north state here.
I'll take that.
But, that's a roll of the dice. So don't hold me to it.
You guys remember when we were growing up? You never complained about the heat.
No.
Nope.
No, I love the heat. I ask people that all the time. Why is it that we never complained about the heat?
I'm convinced that there's three types of people in the world. One is a chameleon, and we're all chameleons when we're kids. We don't care what the weather is. We just go out and enjoy it, right? Not too many adults are chameleons around. Most of the time when we're adults, I think most people develop into lizards or penguins. And penguins are the folks that like the cool weather. I'm a Humboldt County beach penguin by birth, so, you know, it gets over 85, and I'm not very happy. Why do I live in Redding? Well, you know, you got to go where the work is. And then lizards are those that put a jacket on at 70, and they bask in the sun at 95. They're out there roasting in the rays, and they think this is divine, and you know, they're okay with the heat. So they don't like to be cold.
That, and I think when you're younger, you wear less clothes?
Yeah.
Well, we won't go there.
And you get in the hose more.
Yeah. That's true. Right? We do play in the water. Yeah.
We drank out of garden hoses and lived to tell the tale.
Yes, our generation certainly did.
I took a big gulp out of a garden hose about 2 weeks ago when I was washing my motorcycle. I just stuck it right in my face and let it blow out my cheek. You know how I used to do that?
I was watering down the road base we had put in the driveway, and I took a drink out of the hose.
I love it. Lisa came out and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking a drink." This is taking me back right here.
Indeed.
It was awesome, yeah.
I grew up on a ranch. You drank out of the hose in the yard. That's what you did.
When I was a kid, I learned to swim in the river, and the river was really cold. And you only got out when you got so cold you could barely move, and as soon as you were warmed up, you were right back in the river.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How about the debate?
I did not actually watch the debate because I just didn't feel like subjecting myself to throwing objects at my television screen.
I have coworkers that say they watch it for the entertainment, but crickets here on that.
I left a class yesterday in Solano County and listened to it driving back.
Yeah. It's boiling down to my candidate doesn't suck as bad as your candidate.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. If I'm going to pay taxes to pay somebody to be in the White House, I will watch Donald Trump, at least. I mean, I'll keep an eye on him and see what he's got going on. I don't think I've even looked at our current president in 2 or 3 years, and I certainly won't look at it, and I certainly won't care what Hillary Clinton is doing. You know, it's kind of, if you want the same, you're going to get the same. I get it. She's polished, man. She's polished. She had her answers down, and I can't complain about that. She really did. And, of course, Donald Trump, at least I know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I know what he's thinking. And
you
boy,
may cringe when you see where he's standing, but at least you know where he's standing.
And at least I know where he's standing, yeah.
He does say outrageous things, or says things outrageously. Let me put it that way.
Well, that's very, very true.
Either way, it says things outrageously, but you're right. He speaks his mind.
Yeah, and the other thing we have to remember is executive leaders are supposed to act on recommendations from other executive leaders who have that specific, they're experts on the subject matter. Right. He's not really the decision maker. He's a decision maker.
Exactly. There is a reason for our checks and balances government system.
Why we have the triumvirate.
Exactly.
Yes.
And if he says, "I'm going to build a wall," well, he's probably not going to be able to build a wall because someone right underneath him is going to say, "You can't build that wall. Number one, you can't afford it. Number two, it's just not going to work." And he'll think about it for a while, and he'll say, "Oh, I guess you're probably right. But it sounded good, and so I let it spill out of my mouth." That's really how Donald Trump operates. Rough time. Although Hillary Clinton, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the social media posts, but the look on the face of Bill when they paraded in his past conquests.
Gotta hope they just sat there and stared at him.
Oh, it was something, man.
Well, you have to remember, the dude was impeached.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Even though the action wasn't taken further than that, he was impeached. That's kind of interesting how these things evolve.
Absolutely. Bob, have you had a chance to go over any of the propositions coming up on the ballot on November 8th?
Not in detail. We haven't even gotten our packet yet, which is a little odd. Usually we've got them in our hands 6 weeks ahead, and here we are inside of a month. We have to call up county clerk and say, "Hey, hello, we didn't go away. We haven't moved. We haven't changed districts or anything, but we haven't gotten our packets yet." I wonder if anybody else hasn't gotten their packet.
I don't think I've gotten mine either. So, no, I think
so
you're right.
What's going on at the county level here?
I don't know. Maybe someone could call in and tell us.
Yeah.
In addition, make sure you read the propositions. Very interesting. Very good read.
Yeah.
I always try to do that.
During the usual hype, and if I don't understand it, you have to. If I don't understand it, I generally vote no. But some of them are rigged. That they figured that one out and rig it accordingly.
Well, one of the propositions is continuing to tax the ultra wealthy at $250,000 or better. Right? You make over $250,000.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that ultra wealthy myself. But that's what
they're calling it. So, but if you read, you know how they have that handout that talks about all the propositions. If you read the proposition, in the last sentence, it also says that it extends one of the sales tax initiatives. And look, you got a paragraph about taxing the ultra wealthy and one sentence at the end about extending the sales tax initiative.
Yeah, and the sneaky. And then there's the one about the I guess it's the drug one that exempts one particular company from having to, and they pretty much sponsored the legislation, and it exempts them. It's like, okay, this is designer lawmaking.
That's special interest.
Yeah, are you talking about 61?
I think that, yeah.
Now, 61 is the, Medi-Cal pays so much for drugs, and the VA pays another amount for drugs. And they want to pass a law that states they can't pay any more than what the VA pays.
So you just charge the VA more.
They charge the VA more, right.
The thing I like to remind friends and family is to actually read the text of the legislation, because anyone that puts out an opinion on it, a yes or no, vote yes on this, vote no, they obviously have an agenda. Not that I don't read those too, because they provide pros and cons, if you will. But when you read the actual text of the legislation that you're voting on, then you get a much more clear sense of what it's actually for. Don't listen to anybody else. Make up your own mind. And my coworkers call me the realist, so maybe I'm being too practical here, right?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So if you go back and you take a look at who supports what,
right,
that will tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that will really tell you a lot about what's going on with it. Out of the chat room, Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council is putting on a Measure D&E and Prop 61 forum at the Vets Hall on Yuba Street, 6 p.m. Wednesday, 12 October, an objective discussion. That's at the Vets Hall on Yuba Street, Wednesday, 12 October, an objective discussion. If you have the evening off, take the time, go down there, and learn a little bit more about Measure D&E. Boy, that's becoming a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And some of the local politics have gotten a little on the nasty side, but we are continuing to follow that. And this station does not take does not endorse local candidates because we don't think that is our place, but we will give all of them a voice. You've been hearing them regularly. Later on this morning, you'll be hearing from one of those candidates, Mr. Adam McElvain, and back for a second appearance here as a candidate for the Reading City Council, so be looking forward to that. This portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Home Helpers In-Home Care Services. They're more than a home health care agency. They're an extended family when the family can't be there. Locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care, customizing home care solutions to your unique situation for an affordable solution that keeps your loved ones happiest, keeps your loved ones where they're happiest, at home. It's 717, KCNR 1460, back after this.
Must be Budget Blinds. Because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more. To transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Hello, my name is Julie Winter, and I am running for Reading City Council. I moved to Reading with my husband 27 years ago, raised our two sons here, and call Reading our forever home. I'm a family nurse practitioner with a master's degree from UCLA, and I'm proud to say that our medical office has won Best of the North State 4 years running. I serve on the City of Reading's Community Development Advisory Committee, as well as the board of my local professional organization, and Advance Reading that manages the Civic. I am a graduate of Leadership Reading and a member of numerous civic organizations. My commitment to grow our local economy, leverage our city's assets, and make our streets safe again is unfailing. I believe that Reading's best days are still ahead. Join me to create a thriving, prosperous city for generations to come. Go to juliewinter.com, visit my Facebook page, and vote Julie Winter for Reading City Council on November 8th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Julie Winter for Reading City Council. Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
KCNR, 1460, 720 on a Monday morning. And this is what happens when this temporary host steps out for a moment. Trying to track down our 7:30 guest who's elsewhere in the building. Yes, welcome to the program. We have at 7:30, we're talking about the NorCal Veterans Stand Down. We come back in the 7:30 break. Oh, hi, Ted.
Hello there. I was out talking to Dave Cockle. You know, as soon as we talk about Stand Down, I'm all interested. I'm all up in that. Someone's like, okay, Ted, you're back on the air. Okay, let's go. So, Dave Cockle's here. We'll be talking about North Valley Stand Down with the North Valley Stand Down Association. Excited about that. Bad Bob, live read?
I don't have another one. I'm good till 7:30.
Perfect.
Because we don't have a View 202 this time.
Ted's the host in training.
Yeah, I'm the host in training. Well, I can hardly wait till Adam gets here because I got a whole bunch of questions I want to ask him. I'm very interested in his high-speed internet idea.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's really something you can bite into, right?
Yeah, and there are people, and we talked about this on Saturday on Boomer Tech with Rachel Hatch from Institute for the Future, but there are people that say, well, why do we need that? We need to bring manufacturing here. No, we don't have manufacturing. We're light manufacturing, maybe, but we're not doing industry on parade. We're not going back to lumber. We're not going back to mining. We're not going back to raising cattle. We have to think differently now.
Well, the economy's changing.
Yeah.
The world is changing. And if you take a look down south at some of these communities that are thriving, they're doing it on tech.
Yeah. What do we offer? We offer lifestyle, and we offer a place for people who can still work in their very technical jobs, connected to their office, like Rachel does. She goes down there once or twice a week. Other than that, she stays home and works and doesn't have to put up with Bay Area traffic. How cool. That's what we sell.
Or cost of living.
Yeah.
And it's sustainable.
Yes.
For the most part.
True.
It's sustainable.
And it stands a chance of developing homegrown talent that may go away to go to university or something like that, but they would be interested in coming back because there's actually jobs for them, or opportunities anyway.
And, you know, it does drive me. It does concern me that we keep talking about bringing jobs back without any real plan to do it. Because, like you said, some of this stuff is gone. You know, my father and my grandfather, who worked at Kimberly-Clark and then Roseburg Lumber, yeah, it's not going to be around.
That ain't happening. That's not the future. And it's going to be increasingly automated. Robotics is moving into such things as the production line at what lumber mills there are left are increasingly automated. And you're going to start seeing, you think Uber's a big deal? You're going to start seeing increasingly automated systems being employed in the forests because they can be more efficient. Yes, there will be a human operator, but you might have one guy running 10 machines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so really what you're doing is you're cutting down your costs because nothing, you know, although machines are expensive, they're nothing compared to the cost of a long-time employee.
Yeah, you don't have to pay workman's comp on a backhoe,
right,
type of thing.
Right, exactly. So that's the way things are going. And we need to take a look at that when we start setting the road for Reading. I mean, really, I think that. And although there are some some council members, current council members, and candidates who are a little worried about things like unfunded pension liability and things like that.
I agree. That's a big elephant in the room.
You know what? If you're not talking about that, there's something wrong. Because that is going to become a big issue. You can go to Vallejo, you can go to Stockton, you can go to a few cities in this state and take a look at what happened with them as they went bankrupt.
Yeah. Can we dodge that bullet? That's a very good question. Can we dodge the bankruptcy bullet? And what gets forgotten in that conversation when people say, well, it looks like we're going to have to go bankrupt and cut all the city jobs and do this and that. We are now talking about people's livelihoods. We're talking about people... some of whom may or may not be overpaid, depending upon your point of view, but they are earning money and spending it here. That's what makes an economy drive. And you're not going to get away with having high-level managers making, you know, $2 over the minimum wage when you boil down to it. You have to offer them something to be competitive.
You know, as I was growing up, I was normally staunchly anti-union. I really was, because it didn't make any sense to me. As I get older and I take a look around, I am siding with unions more and more, because sometimes their argument is sound. I know a lot of union people now, and their argument can be sound. It can be, not always, but it can be sound. And like you said, and here's one of the main reasons, Bob. You cannot pay somebody pennies and expect them to live their entire life like that.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're moving towards that. They're not tech. There's no manufacturing. So they end up in service. And sometimes service doesn't make a lot of money.
Do salaries need to be looked at? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I totally agree.
There's a lot of responsibility that comes with some of these positions, too. And you can't pay minimum wage and expect people to accept that for the level of responsibility that they're given. So that's another factor that has to be in there as well. So it's, you know, it is a double-edged sword, I think. You know, on the one hand, you have to be mindful of fiscal things. You don't want to overpay. But on the other hand, you have to have enough of fiscal attractiveness to the position to attract the person that's going to take it seriously and be responsible for what their duties are.
And I think it needs to be appropriate to the responsibility.
Absolutely.
We need to ask some hard questions, like why is it, and Carl brings this up all the time, why is it more expensive for a restaurateur to open a property in Redding than it is in Phoenix, Arizona? Why is that? Why is to put a 1,000-square-foot addition onto a home to make a mother-in-law flat, added onto a home, why in just permits was that $50,000?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fee-based?
Yeah.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
Is it before you even move a pebble on your lot,
exactly.
You're spending wads of money for permits and such?
Yeah,
you can't tell me that doesn't hinder. That hinders.
We were doing very well in the construction industry, and we would have weathered the bubble far better, but as the number of houses decreased, the revenues decreased, and so they jacked up the fees. Well, that's a self-tightening bureaucratic circle.
Oh, absolutely. But, of course, you know, you got to feed the monster. You got to pay the monster. And, again, difficult decisions to be made, Bob, because here's the deal. Don't feed the monster. Someone's going to get laid off. If somebody gets laid off, they quit spending money.
Right. It's not just that one person.
Yeah. It's not like this is some easy deal. You know, Donald Trump, here, this is not a good thing about Donald Trump, but this is what he likes to do, is simplify everything. It's not that simple. I mean, you have to enter into any decision you make realizing the unintended consequences 5-10 years down the line. That's kind of the problem with our unfunded pension liability.
Well, that was where, who was the little jug-eared idiot who ran for president back in the 90s who I was...
Perot?
Yeah.
Ross Perot.
His little visual aids.
Yeah. Hey, Ross Perot made a lot of sense.
He did, but he tried to oversimplify and pander things, and he fell into the – and the media ate him for lunch, you know, because he fell into the trap. And unfortunately, Donald, who has some business acumen, is also falling into – he's giving himself to the media to chew on.
Yeah.
And that's never a good thing.
He'd be better off just not saying anything sometimes.
Yeah. So real briefly – Brenda came here because of the because this is where the work was. Why did Ted Leidy come to Redding?
I'm from Cottonwood originally.
Okay. All right.
By the way, that means I could never run for office. Because, you know, when you grow up in Cottonwood, there's lots of stuff, I'm sure.
Are you trying to say you have a record of some sort?
No, before I don't have a record.
Before Facebook and Instagram.
I don't have a record. I have worse than a record. I have memories, yeah. Okay? That's worse than a record. And yep. Other people have memories, too.
Friends and kinfolk with long memories.
Class of 83, West Valley High School, go Eagles. And then I went in the Army. And I was in the Army my entire adult career until I retired. And, of course, I came home.
Now you have a new career.
Now I have a new career as a gun trainer. So, yeah, and that's going, you know, that's going pretty well. Don't tell anybody, but it's not really, don't tell my family, but it's not really work. I tell them I'm going to work. I put on my little uniform and my khakis and strap my gun belt on and go to work, but it's not really work.
Isn't the best kind of work the stuff that feels like play?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
People pay you for this, right? So
they pay me for it. I don't mind. I was in Solano County yesterday at 7 students, and so.
Speaking of students, we might as well roll this right into this piece of paper right here. This portion of the program is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, and we have the man right here, Ted Leidy. Tell me about your NRA instructors.
Well, I'm very proud of the NRA instructors. We have 13 local NRA instructors that work right here out of Reading. Some of them travel to Weaverville and Bernie and places like that, but they're 100% credentialed. In other words, you can't work for us unless you have an NRA credential. Last week, we took 6 instructors and we went to Glock Instructor School. Hmm. And we spent 1 day in an armorer's course learning how to take down the Glock pistol all the way down to nothing, springs, pins, everything else. And then we spent 2.5 days in Glock instructor training on a range, 1,000 rounds, all kinds of great skills and drills taught by Glock instructors out of Smyrna, Georgia. And we came out of there with a new credential, better equipped to come home and train our students. And we have an advanced class coming up on the 20th of November, advanced CCW class, where we'll be incorporating some of those drills we learned last week.
And just off, and I'm not looking for a political statement here, but off the top of your head, given the social changes taking place around us with regards to the legislature unloading their problems and making them our problems. I mean, all you have to do is look up and down the street and say, okay, there's a problem here. Are you seeing an uptick in people inquiring about the about what they need to do to legally conceal carry?
Oh, absolutely. We're every single day we're somewhere teaching guns. I mean, there's no end to it.
I saw this great thing on Facebook the other day, to paraphrase it, with all of the gun ownership in this country and all of the ammunition that is accompanying that. That's right. If we were a problem, the government would know it, right?
What? The CCW holders?
No, just gun ownership, period.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I like to say. There is not a statistic small enough to measure the crime rate of a CCW holder.
Yep. And how do they get hold of you if people want to get the renew, which Brenda and I just did in your excellent course, or get their new CCW, what do they do?
They can call me at 530-999-1822, or they can go to our website, usgunpro.com. Completely interactive.
733 KCNR 1460, back after this with Stand Down.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
In a year that's been so contentious, there is one issue on the November ballot, Proposition 52, that's achieved consensus. Here's why. Since 2009, California hospitals willingly pay a Medi-Cal hospital fee to continue receiving federal matching funds for Medi-Cal. This generates over $3 billion a year from Washington and helps pay for health care for children, seniors, and low-income families. Prop 52 means zero consumer cost, no new taxes, and strictly prohibits the legislature from diverting this money. Prop 52 continues this current program. It's endorsed by doctors and nurses, business and labor, and both political parties. And newspapers agree. 52 is endorsed by the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Sacramento and Fresno Bee. Tested, tried, and true. Vote yes on 52. Paid for by Yes on Proposition 52, a coalition of California Association of Hospitals and Health Systems and nonprofit healthcare organizations with major funding by California Health Foundation and Trust and Dignity Health.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
736 KCNR 1460. This portion of the program is brought to you by the place Brenda and I will be going to immediately following the show. That would be Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way, full service sports club, and their Aqua personal training program with Kathleen Cowling. And my beloved wife Brenda is in fact taking part in the Aqua personal training program. Brenda, so far so good? And
yes.
Tell me why it's advantageous.
Indeed. Well, you know, you call me your fish girl because I love to be in the water. And, you know, you hear the ads from Linda saying something about Kathleen. They're all true. She's amazing. She has great toys to play with. And you wouldn't think that you could get a really good workout in the water, and you certainly can. Friendly people, very nice. And what's neat about Wellgate from my perspective is that they are interested in your wellness. Certainly fitness is part of that, but you can train to go run a marathon if you want to do that there, or develop super well-developed muscles and things like that. But for those of us that are just trying to make it so we can walk around for an hour or two at the mall or whatever and not die of hip pain or something, that's your place.
It's a unique saltwater pool available only at Wellgate Sports Club. Give them a call, 768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, it is our gym of choice, should be yours as well.
Super nice folks.
I love that. You know, that's the exercise of choice, is water exercise. As you get older, it's hard on your joints to run, you know. Walking is okay, but it's hard on your joints to run. And I know me, in the Army, I ran my entire career every single day. Now,
you pay the price.
Well, if you see me running, you better get to running too, because I must be being chased.
Yeah. And you know, I think of water as anti-gravity. It's as close to space, zero-G I'm going to get. But I notice when I walk out of the pool, ooh, gravity, she's a mean one.
Absolutely.
Bomb disposal tech. If you see me running, try to keep up.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's welcome our guest this morning, Mr. Dave Cockrell from the North Valley Stand Down Association.
Morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Kind of early.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm here to talk about the stand down. There is one thing I want to notice is that we are, during the stand down, there is pet service going to be provided by Anderson Vet Clinic, which I know it doesn't look like it shows on the flyer. I just noticed that. But, yeah, that clinic has been very good to us over the years. What we really need is we need some security, volunteers, and volunteers for a lot of services down there. Security is 4 hours. I do have a phone. I'll give it again. My phone is 530-605-8114. Please leave a message. I get anywhere from 50 to 75 calls on this thing.
Wow.
So
excellent.
And then we do have a website. The stand down's been going on for several years, so we're just I don't want to say regurgitating, but we are. We're having some issues with getting volunteers. We need them very, because security isn't really that hard to be on security. It's a 4-hour shift. That's what we want. We don't want you to be down there all day. So, but as far as court this time, the only issue we'll have on court is assistance with court dates, and that will be only on Friday. So if you have court issues, you want to come down Friday. There'll be a person there that will assist you in getting a court date. Then it's up to you to go to the court and make that possible.
When you talk about security, what kind of tasks would someone be doing for that?
Thank you. Basically, you would be sitting at a gate or roaming around. It's a 4-hour shift, like I said. It's just to make it sure that the veterans are safe. You don't want them to wander off. And it's if you understand stand down is supposed to be a safe environment. That means we don't want them to leave and go to a store, buy cigarettes, buy any booze or anything, or get any kind of drugs. It's a safe environment. So that's what the security is for.
Do you have any in-briefing first thing in the morning for the folks that are running security and have never done that before?
Yes, RC, Ralph Clay, is in charge of it. And he should be the one that will give a briefing at the beginning of it. Again, if you call me, I will forward it to Ralph. The one requirement, if you're going to volunteer, you must check in at the volunteer services office where we're going to register, because that's a safety issue. We want you to make sure that you are covered by our insurance.
Yeah, accountable.
Right.
You know where they're going to be working.
Can volunteers go to northvalleystanddown.weebly.com and register, or how does that work?
There is forms there. If you want to register, normally they'll call, and then I'll just forward them, and then they'll email the forms to you. I haven't really been on the website to look down, but I'm pretty sure the forms are on the website. Last time I looked at it was over a month ago. So,
you know, this is an incredible event. And for those who don't know what a stand down is, a stand down traditionally is when combat troops are taken off the line, put in a safe environment, and allowed to rest and recuperate before they go back out to combat. So different from R&R. R&R was the actual vacation side of that. But stand down was an actual formal exercise where they came in, they did maintenance on vehicles, they maintained their weapons, they stretched their ropes, they dried them, they did all the stuff they needed to do to become fit to go back out again. And so when you see the term stand down, that's exactly what it is, right, Dave?
Right. It means a safe environment. That's why what we want to provide. I think it was a term that was developed in Vietnam. You're away from the combat. You're away from combat area so that you'll be in a safe environment, so you didn't have to be on that ready, intense, emotional. That's what it's for. Some of the things that are going to be there is DMV will be there. We have drug, alcohol, counsel, veterans, the VA will be there. The county service officer will be there. One thing, there is transportation. Transportation starts Thursday, and that'll be at 8 o'clock. It starts at Wairika, first one. Hay Fork, Weaverville is the central, and the southern is in Orville. That starts at 8. So if you wanted to see the flyer at the different stops, you'd have to get there around 8, knowing that you're going to be waiting. It depends on how many veterans they pick up. And my understanding, if they pick up a whole crew, they'll be back with another shuttle. So that's the only time transportation is provided. What else? Oh, clothing. If you are coming in there for only the day, you're welcome to come there Thursday to go through the providers. And that's the perk ticket. We want you to go through and see what is available. Because I've had experience where people have gone through and not realized that they were eligible for stuff. So as far as services, so we want you to come down. That's the main purpose for stand down is to get the person. It's a hand up, not a hand out. So if you're a person that wants to just come in there the day, not to stay the night, You come in, you can go through the providers, but clothing will not be issued for the day people until Friday noon. And there's a reason why. The people are staying the whole duration, get first pick. And if you decide you're going to stay, go the duration and then decide to leave, your stuff stays. You can't take it with you. And there's a reason why. That is a special issue that, because you get first pick. So if you decide to leave before it's concluded on Saturday, well, your stuff stays. You're welcome to go through the line again. That's, you could do that, but you won't be taking that special issue home.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, and that's important.
Yes, I want them to understand. And it's, you know, I've found out stuff that I needed. You know, I'm retired military, and I didn't know that I was eligible for some of this stuff. So it's, you know, it's eligible for everyone, and it's all veterans, even their dependents.
Well, I think that's excellent. You know, I'm looking at your service list here, and I remember when I volunteered at the stand down event that they had dental services.
That's been an issue. I think that the VA is going to authorize. I can't say that for sure. We used to have the Hope Van, and the Hope Van you would handle everyone. Well, that isn't going to be a thing that's going to happen this year.
Well, I also recall it was one of the most popular services.
Yeah. Now, for the veterans, see, I'm talking about what is available. The VA possibly could make a policy to go ahead and see veterans on dental, but there's special requirements that allow veterans to be eligible for dental. So, and I can't really say that. If they say yes, they're going to do it, they'll do it.
All right. Yeah, well, I look forward to having you back. We're going to take a quick break. Bud, Bob, take us home.
7:46 on KCNR 1460. More after this.
Weekend 2016. Thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bed on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family-friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
As I watch the politics on TV, I am reminded of my college political science instructor, Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. He said that no matter what a politician said to get in office, once there, self-preservation became the most important thing. In other words, keeping the job became more important than doing the job. Benefit to the country became secondary. He was a little cynical because he had worked in politics for many years. Politics in Washington was never meant to be a lifetime occupation. Citizens were expected to serve a term or two and then return to private life. Politicians were never meant to become wealthy in office. Yet we see reports of individuals amassing millions of dollars while in office. It's time to vote for America's interests first. Become an informed voter. To do less is a disservice to your country. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, Red and Clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
KCNR time now, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. And if you have a significant other who is into the bling, give them a check out at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Right here in Reading, 222-2750, Four Winds Jewelry, our jeweler of choice on Free Fire Radio. Now back to our guest host, Ted Lighty.
Good morning, and we welcome back to our studio Dave Cockrell, North Valley Stand Down Association. Yeah. Dave, we were talking at break about one of the, and rightly so, with Brenda, about one of the biggest issues when you bring somebody out of the military and put them into the civilian world, it's like night and day for them, especially if they went into the military at a high school. And as far as services go, they don't really have this hardcore, formal reintegration process that they go through, and sometimes it causes problems down the road, right?
Yes. You know, like I stressed before, when I got out, you got to remember I was career. So I spent over 21 years in the service, and I didn't realize what I was eligible for. I found out by going to stand down that there was some things that I was eligible for but didn't know about. And I've had experience where I led people around, and they sat there and would stop at a provider and say, I didn't know I was eligible for this. So I would encourage all veterans that and their dependents to come down and check it out. You might find that there is something in this county that's available to you that you weren't aware of. So that's been one of the things, issues that has happened. And, you know, this is eligible for only the veterans and their dependents. And, again, they'll have vet services by Anderson Vet Clinic. There's temporary housing. Again, that's those ones that are staying overnight. There's job services. We have county veteran service officers, the medical services. Social Security will be there. And that's one of the issues I have to address is Social Security. So, yes, I'll be probably at that table asking questions, and yet I'm still working the stand down. The other thing I didn't mention is 19th of October is when we start setting up. And we do need vet volunteer for that. That's transporting the stuff from the storage down to the fairgrounds. And we need volunteers for that. We also need some food service volunteers because our cook, he's got injured, and he's not going to be able to lift any boxes. So unloading the food, when it arrives, he's going to need help. So, yes, we need volunteers for security all around the facilities.
It is a huge operation.
Yes.
I mean, there is hundreds and hundreds of people volunteering and hundreds of people using the services. So, and they can reach you at 605-8114.
That's correct. Leave a message, please.
Yeah, and I remember, and I know you know this to be the truth, when I retired and I came out and I came back to Reading, it was very difficult for me. When you get out, they have this like small counseling session that you go to that says you're going to struggle to reintegrate. What I thought was they meant I was going to struggle to find work and make a living and, you know, and I thought to myself, no, that's not true. The Army paid for my college just like they said they would. And I'm college educated and I'm healthy still. And so I'm going to get out and I'm just going to take on the world. Those people, you know, it's going to be easy for me. It was not easy for me. It was hard for me because the social norms are not the same. And so you get out after living this one way of life in the Army your entire career, or even only 4 years out of high school. Come in, things are not the same, and sometimes it takes a little while. And I think stand down can be just maybe, like you said, that hand up where they're struggling to just get over that hump. and you guys reach out and pull them over. So important. And I remember small things like getting along with people. It was hard for me to get along with people at first.
Civilian corporate culture is very different from military culture.
Yeah. In the military, we just said what was on our mind. It was respectful, but we just said what was on our mind because if we didn't, somebody could die.
And an officer has authority. They say you do. In the civilian work world, you have a little more leeway there sometimes.
Well, the only difference basically is in the civilian world, you can walk away. In
that's
the military,
what I,
you cannot.
That's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
You cannot. You can't.
And we put a value. In the military, we put a value on certain things that aren't valued as highly in the civilian world. In the military, we put a value on what you say is what you do. Because if you're working on a Huey and we ask you if you changed the rotor on the Huey, if you didn't change the rotor on the Huey, we're in trouble.
That's correct.
So that was difficult for me. That was difficult for me.
Well, the other thing is I think we have a more tight group. You know, I work with different cultures, and you just accept it. I mean, they're your comrades, basically, is what it comes down to be.
Oh, yeah. I will stab myself in the leg with a butter knife before I'd let one of our brothers down in the Army. A rusty one.
Yes, I have had comments with our conversation with civilians. The last thing before I leave, there is a website, northvalleystanddown.weebly.com, and I'll spell that, W-E-E-B-L-Y, northvalleystanddown, one word, .weebly.com. You can go on that website. Again, my phone number is 530-605-8114. Please leave a message. Because I get anywhere from 50 to 100 phone calls, and it gets kind of – and if you give me a message and I answer and you don't respond, I move on because I get so many.
That's an incredible workload, so thank you.
All right.
Thank you for
again.
What you do for our veterans. One more thing. I want to ask one more question. What do you foresee as being the most popular service here?
The most popular service? The one that probably will benefit is the VA, that's medical, for one thing, for the veterans. But the other thing is the county service officer. There's a lot of us that, even though we got injured in the combat, we weren't in combat. It took me 14 years to go in and get my benefits because I played football and baseball. And that's where I got injured. And I kept on saying, well, it's not combat. Well, of course, football is combat, but that's how I got injured. But it took me 14 years for them to convince me, hey, you got injured doing a thing in the Navy. You were actually doing an activity for the Navy. So, yeah, it took me a little while to understand that, yes, the county service officer helped me get my benefits.
Well, I have my own story about that, too, because, you know, I was young and in shape. And more than once, as I was walking down a paved road with 80 pounds on my back and I still had 15 miles to go, I thought to myself, you know, this can't be great for me, but I feel pretty good right now. I feel good, and so I would just keep my head down and go and go and go and go. Guess what? When I became 45, retired, 46, retired, right now I'm wearing orthotic shoes with medical shoes with orthotics in them from the VA because I had no idea what I was doing to myself back then, but. So if you're starting to ache and pain right now, you need to get over to the Shasta County Veterans Service Office and start getting looked at.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
I never thought about carrying 80 pounds. And me and another guy lifted, 1,250 pounds over a hatch? Didn't think anything about it.
I was jumping out of airplanes.
Well, I landed
101 times. I felt great.
Doesn't that come under the categories of don't know any better, young and dumb, and feeling invincible?
No, I didn't know any better, you know. I never had a real job besides that. I worked at Kmart. So I worked at Kmart, then I went in the Army. So sleeping on the ground was normal for me. Hey, guess what? I couldn't sleep on the ground now. I'd break a hip.
Oh, yeah, many hours sleeping on a cold steel deck. Anyway, my last comment, visit the website. NorthValleyStandDown.weebly.com. Give me a call. Leave a message, 530-605-8114. We're looking for security and volunteers. And again, November 19th, we're looking for people to help us move the stuff down to the stand down. October 20th, 21st, and 22nd, October is the beginning of the stand down. That's where everyone starts showing up, but we have to set up the 19th.
October 19th.
Yes.
Right.
And, oh, Shasta District Fairgrounds, that's at inside the Ferrero Hall. That's where you'll be registering. It's off Highway 273 in Anderson.
And no experience needed for the volunteers.
Oh, no experience. We'll train you.
You'll OJT.
Yep.
Right on, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the top of the hour news, Adam McElvain, candidate for Redding City Council. Meanwhile, the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton skipped a cordial handshake at the start of last night's debate and quickly began trading shots. Clinton says she wasn't buying Trump's claims that his vulgar comments, caught on videotape 11 years ago about women, were nothing more than locker room banter, as he claims. Campaign manager Kellyanne Conway this morning on NBC's Today Show said Trump also raised the issue of Bill Clinton's infidelity because of how it reflects on Hillary Clinton.
This does not have to do with Bill Clinton. It has to do with the way Hillary Clinton shamed and blamed the women in Bill Clinton's life.
And Trump threatened to have a special prosecutor appointed to investigate Hillary Clinton's emails if he is elected. As for Clinton, she described what she might look for in nominees to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I want to appoint Supreme Court justices who understand the way the world really works, who have real life experience, who have not just been in a big law firm and maybe clerked for a judge and then gotten on the bench, but you know, maybe they tried some more cases. They actually understand what people are up against.
The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences has announced the winners of this year's Nobel Prize in Economics. The prize goes to British-born Oliver Hart and Bengt Holmström of Finland. The Academy says the two have shed light on contract theory and that their theories are valuable to the understanding of real-life contracts and institutions, as well as potential pitfalls in contract design. The average price of gasoline in this country up 4 pennies a gallon over the past 2 weeks to an average of $2.29 for regular grade. Fuel price analyst Troby Lundberg says the increase in prices is a direct result of the rise in crude oil prices.
One reason oil prices were up is a boisterous reaction to OPEC saying it would like to cut production or at least freeze it. Whether that happens or not 7 weeks from now is unknown.
Fuel price analyst Troby Lundberg. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
A parade of mourners created a makeshift memorial for two slain Southern California police officers during an emotional vigil held outside the Palm Springs Police Department yesterday. Riverside County District Attorney Mike Hestron, meanwhile, said that the suspect, John Felix, who's being charged with the murders there, could face a death penalty.
That determination of whether or not we will seek the death penalty will happen very quickly. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will have a...
And the people who turned out were honoring officers Jose Gil, Gilbert Vega, and Leslie Zerbian. They were shot dead on Saturday while responding to a domestic disturbance call. A suspected gunman is behind bars in that case. International markets were mixed, but they eke out small gains today. While the Mexican peso struck a one-month high against the dollar, traders largely assessing the second U.S. presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump at some of their investing decisions. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Looks like a long-term deal is going to keep one military contractor in the state of Connecticut.
The vote by more than 2,000 Teamsters would keep Sikorsky Aircraft producing U.S. Navy helicopters in Stratford, Connecticut for at least the next 16 years. The deal between Sikorsky, the state, and new owner Lockheed Martin includes a 25% pay cut for workers hired starting in 2017, plus pension changes, a ratification bonus, and a change in work week hours. And Sikorsky will add 400 workers in Stratford by the 14th year. Sikorsky builds the CH-53K next-generation helicopter. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average doing well in early trading. It's up by 139 points at this hour. The S&P 500 up about 15 points. And benchmark U.S. crude rose 54 pennies a barrel today to $50.35 in electronic trading on the New York Mercantile Exchange. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Grab life by the throttle. Play our Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. Win free slot play, cash, fuel, prizes, or his and hers Harley-Davidson Street 750s. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Drawings Thursdays at 7 p.m. for cash and fuel. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes. Or his and hers Harley-Davidson's. Not one, but two. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. It's never about the destination. It's the getting there that will stay with you. Now, let's make it happen and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win promotion, where you could win his and hers Harley-Davidson Street 750s from Redding Harley-Davidson. Final drawing Thursday, October 27th. Cash up for grabs, too. Bucks and Bikes Swipe to Win. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, log on to windriver.com. It's better at the river and on a Harley-Davidson.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. We have a caller on the line. Sally, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Yes, I wanted to call in and invite your listeners to come on out to our Reading Patriots group meeting tonight. We have Kathy Allen Darling from the Registrar's Office coming to speak to the group and answer questions. If people have questions on their ballots about voter fraud, voter registration, when the military ballots are going to be sent out, how votes are counted, any of those kinds of questions, Kathy Allen Darling will be able to answer those for you and more.
Now, that sounds like a great meeting. Where's it going to be held, Sally?
Yes, we meet at the Old Vineyard City Church. It's now the Eagle's Nest at 3276 Pacelli Lane, and that's right near the Rose Center, or where Yaks used to be.
And did you say what time that was? Is that at 6?
Excuse me?
What time is it?
It's at 6 o'clock tonight. Come on out. And we also will have a sheet that you can take home with recommendations on the 17 propositions that will be on the ballot.
You know, that's a good read. We were talking about that earlier. That's a good read.
There are many choices to be made on this ballot this November.
It's very interesting. Very interesting.
Is.
So thanks for calling today.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great one.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Our guest this morning is Adam McElvain.
May I do the weather quickly, sir?
Okay, sure.
Well, actually, you're sir. I don't call you. Sergeant Major, do the weather.
Go right ahead, Bob. Thank you.
56 degrees in Reading. A little bit of cloud this morning. Generally sunny sky this afternoon. A high of 84. Drop down to 80 tomorrow. And then by the time we hit the middle of the week, we're going to see a change in our weather with a good probability of rain on Thursday heading into the weekend. So looking for a wet weekend coming up. Going to possibly put our the worst of our fire danger behind us. But still, be careful out there. Once again, 56 degrees in Reading. Shasta Lake now 72 feet from the top. And this is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends and it is cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. 365-3793. Veteran-owned and service-oriented Shasta Gas Propane.
And we have with us this morning Adam McElvain. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
very excited to have you here.
Great. I'm excited to be here.
The city council race is, of course, heating up. And I've been on your website and done a little research on you. And I can tell you I like what I see as far as your message. It's a good message. It's a solid message. And, of course, I'd like you to highlight some of the I'd like to highlight some of the message that you really want people to take into the voting booth with them this election. So let's start off with your electric utility idea.
Sounds good. Well, let me give the listeners just a little bit of background. I'm a veteran and a local business owner, so I'm a partner at a marketing firm. We serve medium to large size organizations. We did the rebrand for One Safe Place when they merged their two organizations. So that's the kind of work that we do at my office on the day to day. But I'm also a veteran, as you are. I was enlisted. I was an Arabic linguist. I spent the entirety of my active duty career at the Air Intelligence Agency. I held the top secret clearance. And I met my wife while I was in the service. She was a Korean linguist in the Army. And we met in Monterey. And we decided that after we got out of the service, we wanted to raise our family close to grandparents. I'm originally from Nebraska. So we made a checklist between Reading and Nebraska, and Reading won every category. And so I love living here. It's an amazing place to live and an amazing place to raise kids. And I think Reading has a lot of opportunity to improve our city, raise our quality of life, and create more jobs.
Nebraska, you do kind of have a Midwest air about you, don't you?
A little bit, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, been to Lincoln?
Oh, yeah.
A few times
for
football games?
Oh, yeah, many dozens of times.
It's like a shrine.
Yeah. It is.
There's nothing in Nebraska for 10 miles, but you can see that stadium.
Yeah, you can. And when there is a Nebraska football game, the stadium becomes the third largest city in the state.
And everybody wears red.
It's red everywhere.
Yes,
so.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
It's something.
Red and white everywhere.
I remember watching the Oregon-Nebraska football game at the beginning of this year, of course.
Yeah.
And we don't want to talk about how that came out because I'm a big Ducks fan.
But
right. I remember when Nebraska scored a touchdown, they released 1,000 red balloons in the air. Do you remember that?
Yep, they do it every
game.
And
I thought to myself, oh, that never happened in California.
Right, yeah.
Someone would go through the roof about that.
Yep.
Yeah, someone would go through the roof. So, excellent. So you're from Nebraska. I did not know that. What city?
So I was born and raised on a farm in a rural area. I attended a rural school that was K-8, was 26 kids. I had one girl in my class, and we weren't friends with each other.
Oh, that's
so
way too bad.
It was an interesting childhood, but started driving into town. So when I was 14, I had a school permit to drive into town. And, you know, being 37 now, looking back, it's surprising that the state would issue a 14-year-old a driver's license. So that was a little bit strange. But, you know, went to high school in Holdridge, Nebraska, near Kearney, North Platte area.
I don't know where Kearney is.
Okay.
Sure. And North
Platte. Yeah, so central part of the state.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So let's talk about – I really want to talk about the high-speed internet.
All right. That sounds good.
Because when I read it, I got excited about it.
Great. So, you know, I'm a former chairman of the Reading Electric Utility Commission. Started attending city council meetings over 10 years ago. I have a lot of experience with the city. I've been to hundreds of meetings at City Hall and chaired two different city commissions, which is about as close to the city council as you can get without actually serving. And was the chairman of the Reading Electric Utility Commission and learned a lot about the electric utility. And one of the things, you know, last year the FCC reclassified internet providers as a basic utility. So the federal government now looks at internet like water or natural gas or electricity. It's a basic utility service. And that's when I really got serious about, hey, this is something that we should do in Reading. In 2011, I was at a city council meeting when Reading applied to be one of the first Google Fiber cities, which would have been amazing, but I knew that Google probably wasn't going to choose Reading to put in this infrastructure.
Their loss.
Exactly. So I started thinking, how can we make this happen on our own? Because it's a big deal. It's the infrastructure of the modern economy. It's critical for today's businesses and future business. And so one of the things that's so advantageous about doing it here is because we own the electric utility. You know, we own the poles, we own the pipes underground. That's the hardest step in starting internet service.
That infrastructure.
Right, having access to that, and we don't have to ask anyone's permission. We already own it. So that's the biggest hurdle. We have linemen that can potentially maintain the infrastructure once it's in. We have customer service and billing already exist. So about 80% of what we need operationally to make this happen is already here. You know, we just need to put in the last mile. So my proposal was, instead of doing the entire city, which would be quite a bit of money, is to start with our downtown as a pilot phase. And the downtown would cost between $2 and $5 million, depending on whether we build a Ford or a Mercedes, how much redundancy we put in, and how much we build out for future expansion. It's downtown is very dense, so we can serve a lot of customers for how much infrastructure that we have to put in. There's a lot of diversity downtown. We have two hospitals down here. We have two colleges. You know, four of the top five Shasta County employers have offices downtown.
Government.
Government. There's low-income housing downtown. It's the entire gamut. So there's a lot of diversity, so we can really see how well it performs with certain groups. So my proposal was to start with downtown, a small area, so that we could prove how economically advantageous this would be to the city. And starting with downtown would give us that opportunity to really explore and see it. So my proposal was to raise the funds from the private sector to do the design, which I estimate would be between $30,000 and $50,000 to get the design done, so we know what we're putting in. Once we have the design done, we'll know how much it costs. So then we can go to the downtown businesses and residents and survey them and say, hey, if for this internet service at this cost, would you sign up? So we know how much it's going to cost. Then we know how many people are going to sign up. Then we can go to the city council and say, hey, we've got the customer base. We know what it's going to cost to put in the infrastructure. So that way that there's no questions as to if it's going to be successful or not. We'll know if the demand is there to install the service, which I'm confident that it is. But I want to make sure that we have those pledges for service before we actually put the infrastructure in.
And would the performance of the service outperform anything that's available now?
Oh, absolutely. This is a completely new level of service. And it's so what I'm talking about is gigabit fiber. And we have 100 megabit fiber, which is a tenth of the service at my office, and we pay $1,500 a month for that service.
And it's still slow.
Well, 100 megabit fiber is pretty good, you know, for the area. But a gigabit would be 10 times as fast, and I'm confident that we can get a gigabit service in downtown for less than $200 a month.
So you have a private service provider selling you one-tenth of what you could get for
right.
$1,500 a month. So
right.
I'm guessing that individuals will be paying for this also, like we'll be their internet service provider, like they pay Charter right now, $39 or whatever it is, right?
Correct, yes.
So you're talking about having them pay. Do you have any idea what it might cost the individual?
So there would be a different level of service. So gigabit would be the fast one. That we might even do 10 gigabit, which is springing up across the country now. And what this level of service does is it enhances, you know, any current business that relies on the internet. And a lot of businesses now, the internet is critical to their day-to-day operations, absolutely critical. If their internet goes down, they have to send everyone home because they can't do anything. So it's a big deal.
And we will come back to that, but we do need to take our quarter-hour break. And okay. This portion of the program is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. And Brenda, I have had experience with Alliance. They
nice
installed
folks.
Our systems, set us up in such a way we actually have a very economical system to keep ourselves nice and comfortable. Comfort is a big thing at my age. System in our home. They have been serving the North State for over 20 years. Outstanding service with all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. They have warranties, guarantees, and 7-day-a-week, 24-hour service. Ask Carl and Linda about the kind of service they got from Alliance when their heating system went down on a hot day and guests come into the house.
Their cooling system. Actually,
yeah, their cooling system went offline. 221-2642. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. Back after these messages. KCNR 1460.
I got my first real six string. Bought it at the five and dime. Played it till my fingers.
Hello, my name is Julie Winter, and I am running for Reading City Council. I moved to Reading with my husband 27 years ago, raised our two sons here, and call Reading our forever home. I'm a family nurse practitioner with a master's degree from UCLA, and I'm proud to say that our medical office has won Best of the North State 4 years running. I serve on the City of Reading's Community Development Advisory Committee, as well as the board of my local professional organization, and Advance Reading that manages the Civic. I am a graduate of Leadership Reading and a member of numerous civic organizations. My commitment to grow our local economy, leverage our city's assets, and make our streets safe again is unfailing.
I believe that Reading's best days are still ahead. Join me to create a thriving, prosperous city for generations to come. Go to juliewinter.com, visit my Facebook page, and vote Julie Winter for Reading City Council on November 8th. Paid for by the committee to elect Julie Winter for Reading City Council.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Walk in the Park. With a Pomeranian, a Dachshund, a Golden Retriever, and a Pug, Brandon always has his hands full. No matter where he goes, he can always rely on Tri-Counties Bank's service with solutions, even when he's on the run. He can easily fetch the cash he needs at more than 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Make smartphone check deposits in a flash. And check his finances online from a park bench while the dogs check out the squirrels. With convenient access to his accounts, branches throughout Northern and Central California, and real bankers to call 7 days a week, Brandon's finances are a walk in the park. Over 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs, mobile and online banking, service that's always by your side. For personalized problem solving anywhere, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It's 821 KCNR, 1460 Free Fire Radio. We'll be back with our guest host, Ted Leidy, in just a moment. It is 57 degrees. This portion of the program is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends and getting warmer. Locally owned and operated. Senior and Veterans Discounts, 365-3793.
All right, we're talking with Adam McElvain, City Council candidate. Adam, right before the break, we're talking about, and you know, you don't have to get exact, but
right.
About what do you expect the average customer to pay for this, knowing that it's going to be a more, a better product than what they're getting now?
So I would expect three levels of service, and I would see a residential option at probably $49 a month. That's going to be a very fast level of service and very reliable.
And I think that's real doable and probably absolutely. Right around what I'm paying.
And I think it's going to put pressure on AT&T and Verizon and company to improve their service, because right now AT&T has no, for especially for people who live on the fringe of Reading, has absolutely no incentive to improve their abysmal service because they're the only game in town. And for a lot of people, Charter is the only game in town. And seeing this competition might get the bean counters to go, you know, maybe we need to invest in some infrastructure because the providers have not been doing that.
You know,
it's been
that is
good
true.
Enough.
That is true. Like cable in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? So before we get into this like total fantasy world where it's already built and you know, we're loving it and I'm paying $49 a month and I'm streaming Netflix with no problem. Where has it worked before?
So there's about 500 publicly owned internet providers now across the country, and I think one of the biggest ones to point to is Chattanooga, Tennessee, and because they started offering it through their electric utility. We would actually have to make a separate utility because of the laws in California, but still be able to use the infrastructure, the poles and stuff. But Chattanooga, Tennessee put it in 2011, and the University of Tennessee just put out a report earlier this year that they'd created over 2,800 new jobs and over $865 million in economic development for their city.
How large is Chattanooga?
So Chattanooga is about 160,000.
Okay, so that's
It's a mid-sized city.
Yeah,
so similar to Reading. And what one of the things is it's really this is a really advantageous infrastructure for mid-sized cities. because then we have something that will draw businesses and young professionals away from the large cities because they want to live in a place like Reading, but they need the infrastructure that's going to support their business.
And the jobs.
Right. A thought comes to me, however, that there will be pressure put on the city, that if we put this in, there will be pressure to provide municipal Wi-Fi as a service to certain groups of people.
Right, and Wi-Fi, you know, Wi-Fi is different than what we're talking. So we're talking about fiber.
But tapping into this, right. into this, you know, as part of that, if the city gets into the internet business,
right.
there will be pressure to spend money on that, and that can be a good thing or it can be a really, really bad thing.
It can, and so you know, this is the pilot phase that I've proposed, and I'm very set on the details of this portion of the infrastructure. But I think that the next step needs to be a community discussion. You know, where do we go after this step?
We have to kind of do a little proof of concept in right. some ways. And if you build it, they probably will come in this case because of the way global economies are.
Well, we would make sure, again, that the customer base is there before putting in the infrastructure. And
absolutely.
It wouldn't be a monopoly. You know, it'd still compete with the private sector, so you'd still have options of which internet service that you'd want to sign up for. But, you know, I've met with dozens of business owners, and people like you are very excited about this, and they would want to relocate their businesses downtown if the service went in. And that's exciting, too, because, you know, for a long time we've been trying to revitalize our downtown. It hasn't been as healthy as it should be for the last few decades, and this is a real opportunity to make that happen because there are endless studies that say if you have a healthy, thriving downtown, you have a healthier city overall.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now, you haven't started raising money for it. So where do you expect the major pushback to come from, if you get any? And have you got any so far?
So, no, this would be something that would start after the election with the council's blessing to move forward. You know, you'd still need a majority of the council that wants to move forward with this idea. But it's very positive, and I really would see that happening, that everyone would want this to happen. I'm not sure what the major pushback would be. I haven't run into any pushback yet, and people are very excited about this. They want Reading to move in a new direction. They want positive things to be happening here. They want long-term solutions for our future, long-term economic solutions that are going to create jobs, draw young people to town, improve our current businesses. And these are great jobs. These are living wage, high-paying jobs. It's a clean industry. And so I can't imagine that you'd run into too many people that would be against it.
Yeah. We're going to receive pushback when it comes to the money.
That's true. But again, the design phase, I would like to raise that from the private sector. So it wouldn't come from the general fund. And then once we know what the design is, we could go after state, federal, and private grant money and potentially sponsorships.
Too bad you can't do crowdsourcing.
Right. So then, right, potentially. But the at that point, you know, the customers are the ones that pay for the service. So it doesn't come from the general fund. It doesn't come from the taxpayer. The costs are borne by the customers of the service, just like with REU. You know, the electric customers pay for the cost of the electricity. So the internet customers would pay for the cost of the service.
Would there be profit to the city?
No. So it's the city would run it like a nonprofit, just like they do with REU, and that's a state law. You know, that the rates can only be what it costs them to provide the service.
There's some advantages from that perspective. You know, you're not paying a corporation that is for profit.
True.
So potentially the overhead is lower and you can keep it at cost as opposed to for profit.
And again, it's kind of a new thing. You know, we had 100 years ago, our city fathers had the foresight to purchase the electric utility. And I would argue, you know, there are some things controversial with the electric utility. There's a few things that I find controversial. But the bottom line is last year, the electric utility saved us $30 million as a city. You know, if we'd paid PG&E rates, which are what are paid in the county, our businesses and residents would have paid $30 million more last year. That's a huge boost to our economy. That's a really big deal. And I know we can do the same thing with the internet, provide a higher level of service. And I'm not one that wants the government to compete with the private sector, but this is infrastructure. You know, this is what the government is for, is infrastructure. We have to start looking at it like infrastructure, and this will enhance the private sector. You know, this will help grow the private sector.
Cycling back to young people, young folks today are digital citizens. They grew up with this like as baby boomers grew up with television and our parents didn't. Type of thing. I'm at my age as a baby boomer, I'm much more of a digital immigrant, but still, I think that the the benefit of that even to us digital immigrants is pretty plain. And Bob and I are very tech-oriented, but even if you're not, you benefit from it. You know, my mom does not have a computer, doesn't know how one works. She doesn't have any kind of online presence directly, but she still has a digital footprint because she calls me up and says, get on your fancy machine there and look up blah, blah, or order blah, blah, or whatever. So she has a virtual or, you know, a vicarious digital footprint, and she's 80 years old.
Wow.
Somebody in the chat room brings up the point that when we're already struggling, I mean, here's the specter again of PERS. Is it really even thinkable to add people to the city payroll when it looks like we're going to have to get a lot of people off of city payroll, or would this be a contracted situation?
So there's a lot of different options for the pilot phase especially, and it could be contracted out to the private sector. And again, this is very different from the electric utility in terms of operations because once you get the infrastructure put in, it's really a babysitting job. You know, the electric utility is extremely complicated. There's a lot going on. You're having to produce the power at the same time that people are consuming it. So it's a very detailed operation. There's a lot going on in the electric utility. With the internet utility, once you get people hooked up, it's a babysitting job.
There's still some maintenance of systems, but that's minimal.
It's very minimal, and it's, you know, again, once the infrastructure is there, it's very easy to monitor.
So the infrastructure would be built by a contractor, just as a building, a structure in Reading is built by a contractor.
I would assume that we would put it out, since the city isn't an expert in installing this type of infrastructure, it would probably go out to an RFP to the private sector to install.
Well, of course, and then once it was installed and running, it would run just like any other small business, hopefully, where if we added to the city's payroll, right? I mean, if we grew the city payroll, then we would have to pay for it as individuals. I mean, that's the way it works, right? We would think. I'd like to think that.
Well, one would think that it's self-sustaining from the point of view that the costs that are involved, you know, come from the service itself. So it's a net loss, zero to the city.
And so what we're getting in the chat room is, you know, we don't want to grow the city of Reading at all anymore. We don't want to grow the utility anymore. They have a valid argument. I mean, you know, technology has made us, and automation has made us much more efficient. But we're not losing any jobs. We're continuing to pay these people and making things for them to do. That's good. I mean, I got that. We can't be laying a lot of people off. But again, it has to be self-sustaining and net zero,
right?
Net loss.
Right.
No net loss.
And really, the number of people to run this is very minimal. I mean, very minimal. I'm not even sure if it would be a full-time position.
The bigger boost, obviously, is to the economy and the private businesses that come in, or even the governmental support, et cetera, et cetera.
So the jobs are, if you build it, they will come, sort of.
Right. The jobs come from having that infrastructure that attracts the business that comes here. Then you have jobs from that, which, of course, has nothing to do with city hiring people.
Right. Correct. So, and again, it was before putting in the infrastructure, you'd want to make sure that the customers are there. But yeah, you would draw on new businesses from out of town. It would get Reading a lot of attention, you know, on the national stage, especially amongst technology groups, of Reading being a place where their business can work.
Aside from the local interest on part of business folks, has any research been done externally to Reading to say, hey, if we had this, would you be interested in coming here? Has that been done yet?
No, but this would be a tremendous asset as far as marketability for Reading. And we talk about wanting to make Reading more marketable. We spend a lot of money with the Convention and Visitors Bureau marketing for tourism. And, you know, I'm in marketing. I do it every day, and we have amazing partners. But we don't make up what they have. You know, our partners are amazing organizations with amazing stories to tell. And that's what we need. We need more highlights for Reading to sell Reading. And this would be an incredible thing to help sell Reading outside of the area.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about safety, public safety, and your interest in the solar industry.
Sounds good.
All right. Ted Leidy, Free Fire Radio.
And it is 8:33 on KCNR 1460. This portion of the program brought to you by Budget Blinds, a huge selection, high quality and fashionable window coverings. They can customize any window coverings within your budget. And if you're paralyzed by all those possibilities, well, do not fear. Call 226-9027. Contact Budget Blinds for your next window project.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
This is a Shasta Regional Medical Center Medical Minute.
Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Cross. If your knee is severely damaged by arthritis or injury, you may find it hard to perform simple activities like walking or climbing stairs. If non-surgical treatments like medication and walking supports are no longer helpful, surgery may be an option. Advanced technology like Navio Orthopedic Robotic Systems help perform partial knee replacement to achieve optimal results. The Orthopedic Robotics Surgery Program at Shasta Regional Medical Center is the first in the region, and we are excited to offer patients some of the most advanced technologies available in orthopedic care.
Shasta Regional Medical Center offers the Navio Robotic Assisted Surgical System for partial knee replacement. Robotic technology allows for accurate, precise, and consistent results so you can get back to the activities you love pain-free. For more information, visit ShastaRegional.com or call 888-969-7168. That's 888-969-7168.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up.
837 on KCNR, 1460, the home of free fire radio. This portion of the program brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463 Athens Avenue in Redding, Man's Last Stronghold, 244-9478.
All right, welcome back. Adam McElvain, city council candidate, joins us this morning in the Free Fire Radio studio, talking about the high-speed internet utility idea. Great idea. But before we end our visit this morning, I just kind of wanted to get your take on two more subjects. Public safety. Obviously, it's the elephant in the room. On your website, you have a nice blurb on public safety. How do you prioritize? Let's say D&E goes through, and if you were king for the day, right, what would you tell us about public safety?
So, as I mentioned, I started going to city council meetings in 2006, and at that time we had a full police department. We were proactive police. We had response times at about 8 minutes, and things were going really well. We had what were known as community service officers, and community service officers make less than half of what a sworn officer makes, but they can respond to low-level calls. They do administrative work. They really help get the gears turning of the police department better. So when the recession hit and the positions were cut, the community service officer program was almost completely eliminated. And it's created a tremendous strain on the police department. Our response times last year were up to over 14 minutes. They did some rearranging of the schedules, and now they're averaging 12 minutes and 20 seconds to the calls that they do respond to. And that's really high. You know, that's a problem. And that, to me, is a direct measurement of how effective our police department is. You know, we need to get back to the 8-minute mark so that when businesses and residents call, when there's an emergency situation, they know that help is on the way. And that criminals know that when they're doing something, that the police are going to show up in 8 minutes. So that's very important to me. You know, as a veteran, you know, a father of two small children, public safety is incredibly important. And in my opinion, the number one responsibility of the city to the taxpayer is public safety. And we're not doing it as well as we should be. Jail space is a different issue, you know, because it's a county, that's a county service. And we do need more jail space. We need more pre-trial jail bed. So that's before the trial happens. And the reason that we know we need more jail space is because we're arresting the same people three times in the same day. And that's a problem. That shows that we're not being effective with our law enforcement. So to me, it's about the CSOs first. I'm also very supportive of the drug unit and the gang unit. We need to make sure that both of those groups have the resources that they need. Drugs are a tremendous problem right now in an epidemic in our epidemic in our area right now, and a huge problem. So those are both very important to me. So if Measures D and E pass, I am going to follow what the implementation plan is, what was presented by the city council to a T, because that's the expectations of the voter. Not going to change. You know, it is a blank check. The money just goes into the general fund. But if Measures D and E pass, I will stick to that implementation plan as long as I'm on the council and always vote for that money to go to public safety. I can promise that on my own. I'm not sure what the rest of the city council will do for now and for the next 10 years. But I will always be focused on making sure that all of that tax revenue goes to public safety. And to me, the number one issue is response times for the city.
Excellent. I want to come back to that. We got a phone call?
Yes, we do. Terry, you're live.
Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Well, the sun never stops here. How about you?
I love it. I'm thanking you for calling in today. I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, I have a quick question for Adam, and appreciate the fact that he's got the courage to run. First of all, Chief Valetti said it's going to take about 18 months for us to hire a policeman. That's public record. 18 months, number one. Number two. He has stated that he needs $400,000 for five community officers, which was the number that they had suggested on the study that the city paid for. I believe it was around $125,000 that we decided to just say, well, we don't need that study because we know better. We need 30 more police officers. Now, in that, he only needs $400,000. We have a rainy day fund, okay? Wouldn't it have been a good idea if city council would have said, okay, what we're going to do in good faith for you people out there to show you we mean what we say, and this is not, as to quote Brett Weaver, a shallow campaign promise, what we're going to do is we're going to hire these five community officers for Chief Valetti to give the police officers more time to do what they need to do. And it's only $400,000. That would have been a movement of goodwill where people could say, well, maybe this D&E, they mean what they say, and they're actually going to use it for law enforcement because they have taken so many out and done the job. Now, the other thing is that on Tuesday of last week, they were looking at buying a piece of property that arguably would be, and we're talking about city council here, about $400,000. So we have $400,000 to spend on property, but we don't have $400,000 to spend on the CEOs that our police chief is begging for. Maybe someone can explain that to me.
So let me turn that into a question for Adam, because you know, he is a budding politician, and I'm sure he's going to be hit with this kind of stuff, you know, throughout his career. So Adam, fantasy world, You're on the council. That vote comes before you. Just off the cuff, you can do it however you feel about it today, right now, sitting around this table for adults. What do you have to say about that?
So, yeah, for me personally, yeah, I would want the revenue to go to public safety, and that's what I've been campaigning on this whole time is, you know, the city's budget started improving in 2012. That's really when we bottomed out, 2011. And those resources, I feel like the lion's share of all of our resources need, especially new resources, need to go to public safety until we are meeting the minimum criteria that we should be meeting. So, yeah, I personally would not be interested in the city investing in property right now until public safety is back to where it should be.
Okay, so that's your answer there.
My question is, though, is that the city is crying broke. We're crying broke. How come we're crying broke, but we can buy maybe a golf course? How does that work? That's what I'd like somebody from the city to answer.
Terry, the deal is that the candidate answered the question.
Yeah, he did.
That he would support it, and he did it very well.
That.
So, but we know he's an Air Force veteran, and you know how I feel about leadership and military leadership. So I'm going to ask you a question right now, Adam, and it's going to really have to pertain. It really covers kind of this whole subject. How responsible do you think city leadership is for the perception of the lead, or the perception, our perception? Because that's what Terry's talking about here.
The perception of what?
Of us, of the residents.
I guess I'm not sure I understand the question. What's the lead?
We got to go to a break?
No, I was
okay.
Joking.
The lead, the residents. How responsible are you as a leader for the message that we're hearing? Because Terry's hearing a different message.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
it's hugely a basic responsibility, correct?
Hugely responsible. And, you know, we have a crime problem. Don't get me wrong. We have tragic incidents all the time. But a lot of it is perceived, too.
That's exactly right.
A lot
right.
of it is perceived, and the reason is because of some of the decisions that have been made. The reason is because our average response time is 12 minutes and 20 seconds when somebody calls to get help, if help shows up. So there is a lot of perception created by the leadership. And I think that that dedication, if we saw that dedication to public safety from our leadership, that would help change the perception.
Absolutely, because I understand the question Terry has, and it makes sense to me.
Right.
All right. Hey, Terry, thank you for your call. We got to roll along here.
Appreciate you, Terry. Have a great day, man.
We have to pay a few bills. Hey, Tobacco and Brew is going to be debuting the all-new La Cari and Las Morenas, and I'm sure I mispronounced those. It will be part of the Crowned Heads Cigar Tour Roadshow that's going to be happening at 2143 Hilltop Drive. The roadshow is about cigars and the way we approach them. You can find out more by contacting Tobacco and Brew at 223-2049, and that is happening on October the 13th. Back with our final segment of this morning's edition of Free Fire Radio right after this.
This is Pastor Terry Oxley of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a society where a handful of political leaders whose minds have been corrupted and depraved are making laws and life-altering decisions that affect all of us, especially our children. These insane, foolish laws are being forced on us regardless of our beliefs. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ and a commitment to live by God's Word will protect you from this moral decay. What are you doing to protect those you love from this insanity? If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit us at our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And it's 10 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock on KCNR 1460. This portion of the program is sponsored by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane, our firearm dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having gunsmith done work on the guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
All right, back with Adam McIlvain. Adam, you said something earlier that I really wanted you to expound upon, and that is you're less of a politician and more of a statesman. You hadn't explained that.
You know, for me, the reason that I'm running for city council is because I want to make Reading better. I don't get into the politics that much or play the political games. I'm very straightforward, say what I'm going to do, so there's no surprises. You know, if the voters know what I know who I am, they know my background. I have a political voting record on the commissions. You know, I'm a fiscal conservative, but at the same time, when I see opportunities like with the internet, making more solar-friendly policy so that we can create more jobs in Reading, you know, I'm going to pursue those because we want to enrich our economy. You know, the biggest piece of the puzzle to me is the economy. If we can improve the economy, create a more thriving economy in Reading, get some forward momentum, a lot of the issues we have will smooth themselves out from that forward momentum. And so I think it's the biggest piece of the puzzle. It's the best medicine for our problems is to create more jobs, you know, a thriving economy and work towards that. And so that's why that's a big part of my platform is concrete, tangible solutions that we can take right away. We don't have to form a committee, you know, and talk about it and beat it to death. We can start working on these right away to help create jobs, create a better economy, and help Reading and improve our quality of life. So I have two young children, and I want to turn Reading into a city that they will not hesitate to want to settle in. You know, I'd love to see them go off to school or go off and explore the world, but when they want to settle down and have a family, that they choose Reading, because I'd love to live with them and spend the rest of my life with my kids.
And you know, Reading still is. I am lucky enough to get to travel up and down the state. I teach classes all over the state, and Reading still is a premium. Community.
It's unbelievable.
It's really great. Nice. Mm-hmm. If you get down south into some of the other communities, it's like night and day.
Right.
I mean, it really is. We're just not used to that. We're not used to having any of these city problems in Reading.
It annoys me in the media when you see this nothing but bad attacks on the trail, homelessness, this, that, whatever. It's like, come on. There is a side of Reading that is absolutely fabulous. Mm-hmm. And ever the optimist here, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But and I've seen downtowns wither, almost die, and then reinvent themselves. And so this is very doable for Reading. I've lived in a number of places where that's happened.
Yeah.
So it's not pie in the sky, and it's healthy for the community to do that sort of thing.
I think so. And we have a lot of formal and informal leaders in Reading who do great things.
Yeah, it's there's so many people working so hard here to make Reading a better place. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to do is we need more positive things that we can point to and say, hey, Reading's taking a good step forward. This is going to help everyone. This is going to help our city. And I think that will help create a better perception, at least internally, for our own citizens.
Again, it's about perception. You get on the council, the perception's so important to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll give you a great example. you can't walk on the river trail safely. That's a perception. Whether it's true or not really isn't true, because I live right by the river trail, and I walk on it all the time. Of course, you know, I'm 6 foot two, and I got at least 1,000 Big Macs in me, so, you know, I'm a bigger person. But the perception is, if you ask 100 people, at least half of them would say, I would never walk on the river trail. It's unsafe. Whether it's true or not, I can't really technically say it's unsafe or not. But if the perception is there, the leadership is responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important to know going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I wanted to let you know, I'm having, for the listeners out there that want to meet me, I'm having a public event tonight at Cattleman's. We'll have appetizers back there in the conference room. So if you want to come, I'm hosting a meet and greet that's open to the public tonight at 6 p.m. at Cattleman's Steakhouse, if you want to come out to that. And then tomorrow, I am holding the Rally for Reading's Future, actually about a block away here down at right here by Shasta College in the Market Street Promenade. So tomorrow at noon, if you can make it out to the Rally for Reading's Future and come out and find out what we can do to really improve our quality of life and create a better future for our city.
If people want to help with your campaign, you know, maybe they can't come to your rallies for that. What opportunities do you have within your campaign for folks to help out?
Well, so that's a great question. You can go to my website, adammcelveen.com. It's an amazing website. I had a great marketing team put it together. But if you can go to my website there, you'll be able to find a way to sign up to get a yard sign. You can make a donation, which is really helpful. There's a lot of ways to help, so the website's the best place to start. You can go to my Facebook page. Like my Facebook page, share some of the posts on there, and help get the word out, and that'd be great.
Excellent. Now, lastly, we just have a few minutes left. On your website, you talk about the solar industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a background in that industry?
I've done a few different solar projects.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you believe it is one of the ways forward?
Absolutely.
Right.
And mainly the reason that really drove me to it is that it's because it's such a significant job creator. You know, the solar industry is growing 12 times faster than the overall economy. And we have 24 solar companies in Reading with hundreds of employees, yet less than 1% of our power is being produced by solar. Here's the crux of the deal. We have to be to 50% renewable by 2030, California state mandate. So we have 14 years and counting to get to that 50%. Right now we only have about 6% committed. For 2030.
So this is interesting because in reading I've done about that, it indicates that nationally it's beginning to really die off because of the lack of federal subsidies and things like that that are going on. But that evidently, or quite obviously from your statement, is not true here because of that mandate. So solar remains very viable and is high potential for growth here, unlike a national trend.
Yeah, there is a tremendous potential for growth, and they did extend the federal tax credits till 2021.
They did, okay.
So they still do have those in place, and, you know, we're the second sunniest city in the country. You know, that's a fact. You can look up at the average annual possible sunshine, and we're 88%. We have a lot of sun, and I really feel like if we make the policies right, make the friendly policies for more rooftop solar, community solar, potential utility-grade solar, that what we can do is we can create a new Shasta Dam. We'll have a lot of solar power in Reading in the next 15 years, and whenever the sun is shining on our city, which happens all the time, we're producing a lot of power.
And when you say create a new Shasta Dam, you mean the amount of power that Shasta Dam generates?
Probably not quite as much as what Shasta Dam generates, but we had an amazing contract with the dam for 50 years, and we lost that contract in 2005. And ever since 2005, our rates have gone up, and everybody's felt it. Every business has felt it. Every resident has felt it. It's gone up cumulatively 72% over 8 years.
So this is self-beneficial to bring that in.
So if we do create good policy and we move forward with solar, we're going to create a lot of jobs for young people, blue-collar jobs, white-collar jobs. And then on the other side of the coin, what it's going to do is it's going to help stabilize rates for everyone for the future. And when we have stable rates, that's a huge economic driver. When a business knows what they're going to pay for electricity for the next 10 years, that's a huge benefit to a business.
And you said earlier during a break, what are the two things that businesses are looking for when they go shopping for a place to locate?
Electricity costs and internet service level.
And there you go.
That's what's important today, and that's what, you know, when businesses are looking at Reading, I've talked to a few different commercial brokers. There aren't that many in town, but over the past 18 to 24 months, when a business is looking at Reading, fiber internet makes or breaks the deal. They have to have that service. It's no longer on the wish list. It's a requirement to have that service.
So one of the pushbacks from solar is it doesn't pencil out as far as REU goes. The REU rate still will beat solar rates once you do the math on it.
Well, it's close, and it depends on what hurdles REU makes you go through. So let's just take a small example. If your home was built before 1970, they will require that you do engineering on your roof, which is an added cost to your solar install. So that changes, obviously, the return on investment. So a lot of it has to do with the things that we have in place and what we have to put people through to get solar installed on their house.
Perfect. Adam, thank you for coming in today. Maybe I'll see you at your rally or your meeting tonight.
Sounds good.
I really appreciate it. This is Ted Leidy signing off from Free Fire Radio. Like Carl says, there's the bad guys and the good guys. Which one are you?
Coming up on 9 o'clock, the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino on KCNR Shasta Ready.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. House Speaker Paul Ryan reportedly tells GOP lawmakers he will not defend Donald Trump or campaign with him. This in light of Trump's decade-old vulgar remarks about women. Ryan spoke with House lawmakers in a rare out-of-session conference call late this morning. Ryan also reportedly says he'll concentrate on other races and not on Trump. And while not defending Trump's remarks about women, Trump running mate Mike Pence is urging Republicans not to give up on Trump. The choice between Trump and Hillary Clinton is, in Pence's words, a choice between two futures. Pence adds he never considered quitting the ticket. Trump's campaign manager Kellyanne Conway tells NBC's Today show last night's debate should help undecided voters make up their minds.
I think it was a good night for democracy in this way. They really have a contrast. They really have a choice in two candidates this year.
Clinton campaign chief Robbie Mook contends a debate did not help Trump. Donald